Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're continuing in our series in this particular passage, and we're going to be picking up where we left off last time. And we saw that we are to not sleep, as do others, but are to watch and to be sober. And that's where we left off last time. And I want to pick up in verse 7, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Verse 11, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this very rich passage of Scripture that is included in the writ of the Word of God for our benefit and for our learning, for our admonition, for our strength and edification. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us this morning as we take up this passage of Scripture. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us to understand that your coming is real. There is going to be a rapture of the church. There is going to be the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, separated by 7 years. And I pray that you would help us to know and understand that there is a proper way to live here upon this earth. We're not just here to try to figure it out, but rather you've given us in your word the testimony of what we are to be doing. And so I pray that you would strengthen us in that resolve today as we look at your word, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to move ahead today as we consider what we've been talking about. And in verses 6 through the end of the chapter, it forms one long paragraph. It's not multiple paragraphs, it's one long one from verse 6 all the way to the end. And he deals with many exhortations. An exhortation, or to exhort somebody, means to encourage them in a certain direction. To exhort someone says, "Listen, I want to encourage you to go in this direction as opposed to another direction." Anytime you see that word exhort, understand that. It's not just a general statement, you know, "I just want to encourage you," but rather to encourage in a certain direction. When you have that in mind, what direction is Paul encouraging the church at Thessalonica to go in these paths? He's going to touch on several things. Last week, he encouraged them not to be sleeping, but rather to be watching. And what was the third thing? Be sober, serious-minded. Those are the things that encapsulate the mindset, the thinking in a Christian's heart and life with the knowledge that Jesus Christ is coming again. I'm to be awake. I'm to be watching for His return. I am to be watching the things that are indicators that He is coming back soon. But then that third thing, be serious-minded. Don't allow yourself to adopt the cultural mindset, which is totally unserious, by the way. It's unserious. It doesn't consider the possibility of being wrong. It doesn't consider the possibility of somehow I'm going to come out on the wrong end of things. I shared in Sunday school about reading about this actress who passed away this past week, and I forget her name, Panettiere or something of that nature. I don't follow Hollywood. But they had an article on Fox News website, and they were talking about that she died in the presence of two other people. One of them was her boyfriend, who was squirting in her nose Narcan to try to revive her, but it was too late. 36 years of age, gone. Slipped off into eternity. Now, it was an unserious mindset. I can continue with my drug use as long as I've got something that will help me to escape it. Narcan. or Noxolone or whatever they call that thing. They spray it in the nose and it immediately wakens them back up. And she had been in this cycle since she was a teenager. Totally unserious that she could die from this. I think that most people live unserious lives, and you can see it in the decisions that they make, how they act. Why is it that we have so many people that think they can outrun the police? Isn't it amazing? I had a police car at least doing 100 miles an hour go by me on Highway 90 this week. I mean, he was just lights flashing, and whenever I got over there, he had a car pulled over. He had caught up with him. Now, somebody thought in their minds, I'm going to beat the police. I'm going to be faster. People on motorcycles, people in cars, trucks, I'm going to be faster. And they're totally unserious. They don't think about unseriousness. What does that entail? Not aware of the consequences of my choices. That's unseriousness. A serious-minded person weighs the consequences. If I do this, then this is going to be the outcome. God has told us in His Word, in this passage of Scripture, that we are to be awake, we're to be watchful, and we're to be serious-minded. Realizing and recognizing the weight of consequences when we make wrong choices, or when we make right choices, what are the consequences that come? Sometimes right choices can end in a bad way. We're finding Christians that are being arrested in Russia, in Nigeria, in Chad. They made a right decision to worship their God, but they're arrested or they're killed or they're thrown into prison with no trial. Now think about that. There's a consequence to serving God. So keep that in mind. Be serious-minded. And then he goes on to say the reason why he's given these three admonitions here. We're not children of the darkness. We're not children of the night. We are children of the day. We are children of the light. Something's happened. Before, we were children of the night. We were children of darkness. But something happened that took us out of this realm of living in this world and brought us into a new position in Jesus Christ. And we became children of the day and children of the light. We call that salvation in Jesus Christ and all that that word entails. Soterios is the word that's used there in our passage in the Greek. Soterios is a word that has such broad meaning in Koine Greek. Matter of fact, I'll jump ahead a little bit because I want you to see this. In Koine Greek usage, soterios conveys concepts depending on the context in which it's used. Now look at all these words. It can mean defense, deliverance, integrity, preservation, protection, redemption, regeneration, release, safety, security, shelter, stability, support, and vindication. I'm tired just reading that. That's what all that word entails. Greek theologians have studied the depth of its usage in the common language of the day. And it could be used in all of those contexts, depending upon what the context was. Now think about that. Defense. Deliverance. Integrity. As I looked at all these words, I began to say, you know what this looks like? It looks like salvation in Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen? It looks like salvation in Jesus Christ. Salvation in Jesus Christ is not monolithic. It's not just about, I got my ticket out of hell. It's not about, I'm just delivered from my sin. It entails all that's involved in your deliverance from sin. Let's go back to the drug, Narcan, for just a moment. That was what was used repeatedly on this young actress trying to revive her. Narcan only works for 60 minutes max. But the drug, depending on how powerful the drug was, that drug can still come back and kill. So it may be repeated use, and there are consequences to using Narcan. It can have lethal issues if you put too much in a human body. Now, Jesus Christ has delivered us from sin. But what all does that mean? Boy, the Bible goes into great detail. It means that His righteousness was imputed to your account. And when His righteousness is imputed to your account, you get what all that righteousness entails. Amen? Yeah. That means I'm taken from unrighteousness, darkness, night, and I'm put into righteousness, light, and day. That's what salvation means. And it means much more than that. It means all eternity. The defense, the deliverance, the integrity, the preservation, protection, redemption, regeneration, release, safety, security. On that release part, you're released from the grip of Satan. You're released from the chains of sin. I love that song. The fourth verse? He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. That's all involved in your salvation. He breaks the bonds of canceled sin, the shackles that held you in your place of iniquity. He broke that, and He delivered you into the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ. This word soterios is very broad, and Paul here is using it in its broadest sense. Everything that soterios means is promised to the Christian. And we need to appropriate that this morning. It needs to be in our thinking. Remember, sober, serious-mindedness. It needs to be in our thinking, all that Jesus Christ entails in my life. Oh, how important it is. You know, when you got married, you made a vow. This past week, I saw a person that is going through a very difficult time with their mate. Very, very serious health situation. It's a couple that live here in Milton, and said, I've been reminded of my vows over and over again in sickness and in health. So we've enjoyed a lot of health in our years together, but now we're in the sickness phase, and my commitment to her is the same as it was in health. You know what? The vows are still ringing in the ear of the person that made them. And when the spouse is sick and hurting, I vowed to take care of her. Not just when everything is going good and we were having all this fun and so forth. And now the sickness goes, oh man, what a drag. That's how some people do, and they get divorced. A sad, sad situation that happened almost 25 years ago. A young man went to Iraq to fight from Milton. He lost both of his legs. He spent 2 years at Walter Reed Medical Center up in Washington, D.C. They couldn't help him walk again because the stumps were so badly damaged. So he was confined to a wheelchair. When he got home, his wife said, I can't deal with this, and left him. You can have the kids too, she said. Horrible divorce. Horrible divorce. He brought the kids to Santa Rosa Christian School. He had played ball up here at Gospel Projects. Knew him when he was a child. And he tried to make the best of it, but it was a tough, tough situation. The vows didn't mean anything to her. It meant nothing to her. Well, my vows didn't cover that. But what did they cover? What did they cover? When you said those words, did they have any meaning? And when Jesus says, I will give you the gift of my righteousness, Romans chapters 4 and 5, I will give you the gift of righteousness. What did He mean by that? Was He withholding something from us? And the answer is absolutely not. You, in Christ Jesus, are not children of the night. children of the darkness. You are children of the light and children of the day. And take that in, appropriate it, and help you to understand what that means. It means I don't live anymore like that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul is emphasizing something here with these Thessalonian believers of what they have in Jesus Christ. Let's go back and continue. Look at verse 9, because this is kind of our text today. For, now we looked at last week about putting on the helmet of the hope of salvation, the breastplate of faith and love. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, orge in the Greek language, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, the word wrath that's used there, orge, is not a quick blow up and then it's done. All right? You have a fit and you blow up and then it's all over with. This wrath is the outpouring of continuous wrath. All right? We could call it hell and the lake of fire. This judgment. By the way, the tribulation period is a pouring out of God's wrath, and it's pictured in three sevens in the book of Revelation. First of all, we begin with seven seals, in which a quarter of the earth's population is killed. Then we go to the seven trumpets, and we see one third of what's left of the population of the earth is destroyed. And then you come to the vials of wrath, right? The bowls of wrath that he pours out. And who pours it out? Don't ever forget this. Who pours out the vials of wrath? It's Jesus Christ. Well, I thought he was all about grace and goodness. Listen, when you reject his grace and goodness, you get the consequences that come with that. And he pours out wrath upon the earth, and the remainder are destroyed. Orge is the word that's used there. The bowls of wrath, the bowls of orge. That outpouring of wrath because I rejected truth. And I substituted something else in there for it. I rejected the truth of Jesus Christ. God has not appointed us to that. And we should be saying in our hearts and minds, glory to God! I've been delivered from that. But it also should have an effect in us. Oh, wait a minute. There are people all around me that are going to face that. I need to tell them about Jesus. I need to tell him about his love. I need to tell him about his grace. I got to tell him about his goodness, his deliverance, soterios. I need to tell him about that. So they won't have to experience that. God hath not appointed us to the wrath. But what has he appointed us to? The Bible uses the word there, salvation, our King James translation. Soterios is the word. And you remember all the different things that are included as possible translations of that particular word? Pretty comprehensive, is it not? It's not just one thing. We have been told, we have been appointed to soterios. All of these things that Jesus Christ bore in his body on Calvary's tree, you'll be shielded from that because you're in me. You're in Jesus Christ. Appointed. That's an interesting word in the Greek language. Appointed. It signifies a purpose. A purpose and an end. God has purposed, and in your behalf, he's purposed this, that you should be like his son, Jesus Christ. Can I be like his son if I'm under wrath? No. I have to be delivered first before I can possess this. And this is where the gospel gets all muddied and all watered down today. We're basically saying, just live like you want to, man. You just live like you want to. Don't worry about that. Just accept Jesus. With no changing from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. With no appropriation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and all that that entails. That means something. The shallow, easy believism. Just tack him on. Put him on there with the rest of all the other things that you love. No. He needs a complete and total transformation in your life. That's what he's going to bring to you. It's not going to be old things mixed with new. It's going to be all new. Jesus does not do what he encouraged. He told the hypocrites. Remember those, the Pharisees? He said, don't mix old wine and put it in new wine and put it in old bottles. Why? Because in that fermenting process, it would burst the bottles, the old skins that were made into bottles. They would be dried out, and with that expression, the fermentation process, it would just burst the bottle. That's not what Jesus is about, pouring new wine into old skins. He is going to make us all new. Soterios, everything, shelter is a word that's used there. We are sheltered in Jesus Christ. In the hand of the Father, in the hand of the Son, sheltered. Soterios. So Paul here is making a very, very foundational statement about what we are in Jesus Christ. We're not unrighteous. We are not children of the night. We are not children of darkness, but rather we're in Him. Therefore, we're children of the day, children of the light, and we have righteousness, not our own, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And all these terms that are used here that talk about soterios are all involved in what He has provided for you, child of God. And there needs to be some rejoicing. There needs to be some glorious thanksgiving in our hearts for what He's done in grace. In grace, He's done this for us. Why would we want to diminish His grace by making up another category of a fleshly, carnal, adopt the Christian religion type mentality? Dress us up and make us better. It's just like the old Charlotte's Web story where they had the pig that was in there and they scrubbed the pig and he was pink and a little curly tail and everything. But when he gets back home, what does he do? He runs right back to the pigsty. He doesn't know any better because that's what's in him. I was just up yesterday. I went up there to see if I could find the remnants of the old turpentine camp from the early 1900s. It's called Camp Henderson. And Hiram Melvin, who is a local historian here in the turpentine thing, told me a little bit about it. So I tried to go up there and find it and was looking around. And I went to my Uncle Albert's property where they used to have a turpentine camp there. And I found some of the old turpentine clay cups that they used to hang on nails where they would make the cat face in the pine trees and the sap would run down and go into this metal cup and drain into the turpentine clay cup. And they would take that off, put a new one in. And then they would take that in, pour it into the big barrels and so forth like that. And I was just looking to see if we could find the old remnants of the big steam engine that they had there that was used to produce the steam power to water down and make that turpentine flow easy and not like thick sap, purify it and so forth. And so I was out there running around, but I was reminded of something when I was out there in the middle of nowhere driving on a dirt road, okay? People used to live out here 120 years ago, their whole lives. Most of them were prisoners that had been hired from the state, and they lived out there in these camps. Camp Henderson was one of those camps, and they worked hard, hard labor out there. It's not an easy job. And they were conscripted there, and they were paid a whopping dollar a week. for all their labor. Can you imagine? You slept in the comfort of your air conditioning last night. It's nice, isn't it? How would you like to sleep in a tent out in the middle of the woods in the summertime? Humidity high, 80-something degrees, and then you had to get up in the morning and go right back to working in the sun all day long. All right? It was a bondage. They called it peonage. You ever heard that word again? Peonage. Where the state would turn the prisoners over to the turpentine camp directors, and they would pay them these menial fees, and they worked all day long, and the turpentine upper echelon making all the money, and these poor peons are doing all the work. Do you know that God's not like that? He's not like that at all. We don't enter into a peonage. We enter into the glories of sonship. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what it means to possess the righteousness of Christ. We are made sons of God. We are made joint heirs with God in Christ Jesus. It's not peonage. It's privilege. And it's all secured not by anything of our own, no works of our own. It's only because of the merits of Jesus Christ. So, with that foundation built, here in verse 9, I want us to finish up with verse 10. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation, deliverance, soterios, by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. The word wake there is the word for alive. Alive. Those that are alive, or those who sleep, using the same word that's used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, talks about those that are asleep in Christ Jesus. They're dead in Christ. Together, they will be with whom? Him. Who is Him? None other than Jesus Christ. What a promise. What a promise. Preston started school this year. He survived 2 weeks already. I should say the teacher has survived 2 weeks of having him in class. And so I went by the house just to say, I haven't seen him, because he's over in that building. I'm most of my time over here or on back campus there. And I was asking him, well, how's it going? He said, I love my teacher. I love my teacher. And I said, well, are you doing what your teacher says? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm doing what my teacher says. I don't want to get in trouble. There are some boys in our class that get in trouble. And I don't want to get in trouble. And I said, well, that's good, Preston. I'm glad to hear that, you know. Now, you think about the newness of school. Is it going to feel that way in 12th grade? How many of your opinions changed of school through the years? Right? Man, I remember the excitement of K-5 with Mrs. Gay. And I remember the cookies. But they stopped serving cookies after the first grade. Now, what's going on here? I brought my Rough Riders lunchbox to school, and Mom had to put in the cookies. They didn't provide them anymore. What's going on here? My opinion of school started to change. I thought, hey, they're just bribing us in K-5 in first grade, giving us cookies every day. And then whenever I got into second grade, that was all over with. You learn through the years as you mature that things change. And by the way, by the time you get to middle school, cookies are not cool. They're not cool. I remember Mom used to buy us the animal cracker boxes with the old little string thing that went across the hand with the handle on them, you know. Man, I thought those things were wonderful. But when I got into middle school, I opened my box up and I saw that box there. Close it back up. I didn't want my friends to see that. So what I did is I reached my hand in there, popped the top off of the cardboard box, and I'd pull them out and stick them in my mouth, you know. It wasn't cool to have animal crackers, though I loved them dearly. I loved them. The maturation process, the maturing through the years, things change, don't they? Now, Christian, the Lord has told us that whether we live or whether we die, we are going to be together with Him. So if my friend dies and they love the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't worry about their outcome. Amen? I don't sorrow as those that have no hope, the Bible says, because I know where they are. They're with the Lord. They're with Him. They're rejoicing. What about those that are alive? Rapture seems kind of imposing sometimes. All of a sudden the trump sounds and boom, we're gone with the Lord. We're not used to that kind of fast. Most of us are a little bit slower about things. If you don't believe me, go sit in traffic right down at the stoplight by Walgreens and McKenzie Motors, and you'll find out what slow is. They go down there and they turn that corner and stop. And they're looking. And they got this big old running lane. Why'd they put that there? I wonder. And they sit there and people behind them, why are they honking the horn at me? Yeah, slow. Instantly, we're snatched up off of this earth. But you know what? Who goes first? The dead in Christ. Those that are in Christ Jesus, they go first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's basically restating what verse 10 is saying there. And then verse 11. Wherefore, comfort each other together. Comfort each other together with this message. What are we doing, Christian? We're just running life. We're on the spinning wheel like a rat. And we're just running all day long, running. And we're doing our thing today. And we're going here and we're going there. And we're running, 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 running. And no thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. No enjoyment of His presence in our life. No realization that I'm going to be with Him for all eternity. I'm just down here just doing my thing. I'm going to do this today. We get up in the morning. We do the same thing again today. And that's the rat race that people say is fulfilling. Really? Oh, no. It's not fulfilling. Walking in Christ Jesus is the most fulfillment that will ever be enjoyed on this earth. And he's telling the Thessalonians, comfort each other with this wonderful news. Comfort each other. Encourage each other with this wonderful news that we're going to be together with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Father in heaven, the Word of God never grows old. We're so thankful for that. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, thoughts and intents of our hearts. That's how powerful your word is. And I pray, Father, that that power would be manifested today. Perhaps there are some here that are on the wheel. They're just running full out. Busy, 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 with no thought of Christ, no thought about what has true value. Just running the race. I pray that you'd help us to climb off that wheel and that we'd get busy with walking with Christ, because that's where we're going to be for all eternity, together with Him. And Lord, if that doesn't have any meaning to us, then there's a deeper problem. And the deeper problem is this, that maybe we're not His child at all. Maybe we're just in pretend mode. Maybe we think we possess something that in reality we do not. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work. Shallow living indicates a shallowness of life. Depth of living indicates a depth of life. You've delivered us from the team darkness and put us on team light. And we are forever grateful, dear Father. But that means something. It means a change has taken place. It means decisions are not made the same way anymore. Because we're children of the light, children of the day. children of righteousness. Dear Father, I pray that you would stir us up this morning, that your Holy Spirit would awaken us to these truths that were shared 2,000 years ago with a local church in Thessalonica. But nonetheless, the message is just as powerful. I pray that you would stir us up by your grace, and I pray that you'd draw precious souls. There may be some here without Jesus Christ, have no idea what we're talking about. I pray that in love and in your goodness and grace, you would minister your Holy Spirit to their hearts where they see their need to turn to thee and be delivered from their sin and live a life in newness of life that only Jesus Christ can give. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.